Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Proverbs, the 21st chapter and the 5th verse. And it says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." The Storytelling Time program this week is the first story coming from the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The Fruition. The title of the story is Planning the Trip, Part 1, Maggie's Fulfillment. Before we start with our story, I would like you to consider the following tips for becoming an author. These tips relate to writing fictional books, and it comes from the internet. Number one, start with a seed of a book idea involving a character, a setting, a piece of dialogue, or something else of interest to you. Number two, develop the main character. Decide who will be your main character, including the various aspects of the character, such as what does the character like? Why does the character want it? And what problem the character is facing. Number three, create a simple plot outline and consider the aspects of setting up a plot. These might include introducing your characters and the problem, and creating a plan of where your characters are going and the problems they may face. Number four, start to write the first draft. Yes, start the writing. Let your spirit guide you as to where to go with the story. Now, we'll be right back with our story after a break. Welcome back. After a good night's sleep, Maggie and Fred woke up teary-eyed, still thinking about that starlit night they viewed together through the sky window Fred had installed only weeks earlier. For the first time in a long while, Maggie felt totally fulfilled in her life. She was lying there right beside the man of her dreams. Now, well-rested from a good night's sleep, she was ready for a brand new day. Still comfortably lying in bed, with Fred having just awakened himself lying beside her, Maggie said to him,
"Fred, I really enjoyed last night when we looked out of that sky window. I don't know why we didn't install it sooner. And the strange thing is, I can't wait for tonight to come so we can take advantage of it again. To be able to see a starlit sky like we saw last night means so much."
"It means a lot to me, too, Meg," Fred replied. For Fred and Maggie Mintz, heaven had arrived in both their lives, because finally they had each other. Both Maggie and Fred really enjoyed living in their new house. Of course, it wasn't exactly new to them anymore, because they had left the condo in downtown Chicago, outside the city in Central Heights, 6 months earlier. They were finally healing from the many losses they had known in their lives. The memory of Maggie's parents still crept into her mind on occasion, and her former husband, John, continued to hold a soft spot in her heart. As for Fred, well, he had certainly gotten over his feelings about Courtney, and was thankful to keep her as a dear friend in whom he still could confide. Having relocated from Hawaii to Chicago, Fred finally had what he wanted all along, the love of his life, Maggie. He still experienced challenges in his writing career and on his job at Melco, but now all that didn't matter because he had Maggie, or Mag, as he affectionately called her. It was a typical week for both Maggie and Fred. Maggie had her job to do at her daycare, but she had the help that she needed in her niece, Mary. As for Fred, an author's job is never done. So he continued to write while becoming more adapted to his new position at Mevco headquarters in Chicago. Now that he had moved from his downtown condo to the suburbs, the traffic presented a new challenge. That challenge was for him getting to and from work. He compensated for that problem, however, by meditating on the next story he was going to write whenever he was stuck in traffic during his bumper-to-bumper commute. The responsibilities of his job had increased since his return from Hawaii, so the stop-and-go traffic allowed for more than enough time to allow him to think about his corporate job as well as his writing. On weekends, Maggie and Fred found time to relax a little. They took advantage of their spacious backyard and the enclosure attached to the back of their home. The enclosure was like the one Fred had attached to his condo back in Hawaii, but it didn't provide the spectacular view with the Pacific Ocean serving as a backdrop. He had enough of that anyway, even though he still had pleasant thoughts about the times when Courtney visited him there and the many conversations they shared. While not as magnificent as the scenery from the beach condo in Hawaii, the view of the greenery in their backyard from the patio of their current home provided a serenity that both Maggie and Fred needed at this time in their lives. On a Saturday after Maggie and Fred found themselves sitting comfortably on that patio, she said to him,
"Fred, don't you think it's nice sitting here on the back porch? I really like the country feel of our house. It's so much different from living downtown. You can even hear the birds chirping."
"That is nice, Meg. And by the way, you could call it a porch or a patio. But you're right. It is nice out here, especially with those birds chirping," Fred replied, similar to his answer to her question about looking through that sky window. The highlight of their weekend, other than their weekly attendance at church, was the social gathering that they had with Courtney and Gates Manley. The Mints and the Manleys had become inseparable couples. They entertained each other on most Sunday evenings. These social occasions gave all four of them an opportunity to put the previous work week in a rearview mirror, so they could begin to think about the new week afresh. It was not the week's activities that Maggie looked forward to the most. At the end of every day, she anticipated the joy of viewing the stars through their sky window at bedtime. It would be a transition from a day's activity and birds chirping to the sound of crickets signaling the quietness of night. Meanwhile, a usual day at home was filled with chores galore, and she welcomed those precious moments of stargazing later at night. One evening, Fred returned home late from one of his writers' conferences and went straight to bed. When Maggie retired after a long day of work at the daycare, as she had done on several evenings, she opened the sky window and, while lying on her back, looked through it to view the multitude of stars that glittered in the nighttime sky. She just stared at them, wondering what the future would bring. As Fred lay there beside her, he asked, "Meg, you really love that sky window, don't you?"
"Yes, Fred, I do. It helps me to sleep soundly. It's so peaceful looking up there into the heavens, looking at all those stars."
Then Fred replied, "Well, thank goodness it's not cloudy, otherwise you wouldn't have the joy you're having while looking through that window."
"Oh, Fred."
"Speaking of being overcast, Meg, I don't mean to cast a cloud on your thrill of looking through that sky window.
Don't worry, Fred. You won't.
Okay. Well, anyway, I sure hope I sleep good tonight because I'm really tired after everything I've done today. So don't wake me up. And I'm looking forward to a hot breakfast tomorrow morning.
Okay, Fred. I'll have it ready for you then. A nice hot breakfast. Good night.
Good night, Meg. Before long, Fred drifted off to sleep, leaving Maggie awake to contemplate the future as she continued to gaze at the stars. After a while, she too drifted off into the abyss of slumber. But soon, a long and thorough dream emerged in her unconsciousness. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. In the dream Maggie had, she was playing bingo, a game she loved to play after their usual Sunday evening meal with the Manleys. Usually they dined by themselves, but this time, the Mints and the Manleys had a few neighbors over to join them. At the end of one game, Gates offered an appealing suggestion to everyone there.
You guys, the hotel chain I'm with is offering complimentary cruise tickets for Courtney and me and three other couples. Now how about that? Would any of you be interested?
Maggie spoke up quickly and said,
"Of course we would. Wouldn't you, honey?"
She asked, hoping Fred would give a positive response, which he did. "Yeah, it's something that would be very exciting, but we're just one couple. Now, Gates, let me ask you this. Since many of the folk here have commitment during this time, who would be the other couples, the other two couples that would join us?" Fred asked Gates. Before Gates could answer the question, Maggie interjected and said,
"Well, if no one else here would like to go, I know my friend Sandra would love to go on a trip like that. And she could partner with my college friend Katie. And there may be another couple I'm thinking about, too."
"Well, I guess it's all set,"
Gates said. One of the others at the table made a statement that was probably representative of all the others there who did not express an interest. He said, "I know I'll be working." That's when most of the others present nodded their heads in agreement. Maggie then said,
"By the way, where are we going, Gates?"
"Well, we have to decide on three options for the trip. Alaska, Jamaica, or Bermuda."
"One of the options is Bermuda?"
"You got it."
Maggie hoped that would be Gates' choice because Sandra's friend lived there. Maggie began to make her case for that destination. Then she continued to say,
"You know, Gates, my friend Sandra went to Bermuda and had a wonderful time there. Let's consider that place."
"Are you kidding me? I was thinking the same thing. That would be perfect."
Then Gates asked,
"Is everyone good with that? Except, of course, for those who can't go because of work."
Then someone hollered, "Hey, Gates, remember us who can't go on this trip when you take your next one. Maybe many of us will be able to go on that one."
"I sure will remember you all. I know we all have commitments."
Gates saw that both Courtney and Fred nodded their heads in approval in his proposition. But he didn't forget about the others. He made sure they were welcome to go on the next trip, assuming they had no other commitments. So it was confirmed that the Mints, plus Maggie's friend Sandra and her college roommate, could be two of the three couples that Gates would invite. Meanwhile, all the others at the table just sat there, hoping that Gates would propose a trip again later, when they would be able to go with him. Then, Gates focused his comments on Maggie and Fred, since they had agreed to go.
"But there are still two other things that we have to clear up. First of all, we need at least one more couple, because the special that my company is giving requires four couples to participate."
Again, Maggie spoke up.
Like I said before, here's another couple I think will work. So let me tell you, Gates, my friend Katie, the college roommate I was telling you about, well, she has a teenager, and since our trip could be when school is out, he can go with us too. Yeah, she has a son whose name is Wynn. If you add Sandra's Bermuda friend, Aaron, that will make up the fourth pair you need.
Okay, I'll see if we can make that work. Of course, I'll have to get approval of my hotel's administration.
Maggie replied.
Okay, Gates. While you're checking on that, I'll call Sandra to see if she's interested. But I know her. She will be ecstatic.
After that, Maggie stepped away to refresh herself when she continued to consider the trip more seriously as she mumbled quietly.
Yeah, I think we can make all this work. The more I think about it, the more I think that it will work. Katie's son, Wynn, and Sandra's friend, Aaron, can make that third pair. And hopefully Aaron can entertain us while we're in Bermuda. But I'll confirm that when I talk with Sandra. She'll be able to contact Aaron about the arrangements we're planning. And knowing what Sandra has told me about her, I think she would like what we're trying to do. Yeah.
As Maggie pondered all these considerations, she held hope that all would fall into place. After her little conversation with herself, she felt refreshed and returned to the bingo game with her friends. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Gates confirmed with his hotel's administration the arrangement he and Maggie talked about would be okay. He told Maggie by phone the next day that all the details were approved. That's when Gates called her.
Hello?
Hello, Maggie.
Oh, hello, Gates.
Well, Maggie, the reason I called was to tell you that tomorrow I'll finally submit all the necessary forms to my hotel administration, so everything will be set.
That's great, Gates. I'll tell Fred that everything is a go for the cruise. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this trip.
That's good, Maggie.
Gates replied, and with that, the conversation ended. Before her conversation with Gates, Maggie imagined her fulfilled life just by looking through their sky window at the stars above. Soon, she would have the opportunity to view those stars again, this time in Bermuda. Yes, soon Maggie's fulfillment would be complete. And yes, she would be able to witness some of the experiences her friend Sandra had when she visited Aaron at her island resort. And to top it off, she and all her friends would be cruising there. Everything was now set. Yes, they were all ready to go cruising. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.